creative team a hand? Awesome. Turn to the person next to you and say, you are incredibly good looking, and take a seat. Welcome to Bay City Church. Who's happy to be here? So good to have you here, part of this house. This is our Vision Sunday, and I don't know where you've come from. You might come from another church. I like to share Vision Sunday. I think there are some amazing leaders, people that oversight areas in our church. And Vision Sunday, you're going to get an opportunity to hear their heart for the area that God has put them in charge of. And so you're going to hear from a few people this morning. But before we do, let me just set the foundation. We're building a house of God. Who would agree with that? This is a house of God. It's not just a literal house. This house bears the name of Jesus Christ. That's quite an honor. It's quite a responsibility as well, isn't it? Think about it. This house bears the name of Jesus. We're his bride. When people wander into this house called the church, the house of God, they run into something that actually stands for his name. It represents him, Jesus Christ, here on earth. And that's why I think for the church, we've got to do things well. Don't you think? I mean, if you're representing someone's house, if someone's representing your name, you kind of want them to do things well. Is that right? Or maybe you don't care. But we represent the name of Jesus. I have a house, a literal house, called the Harper House. And what happens in our house represents the Harpers. So when things are good, they go, wow, look at the Harpers. The Harpers are making a lot of noise on a Saturday night because they've got a party. That's the Harper House. So that's why my teenager, I've only got one at the moment, won't be going crazy and having parties to 3 a.m. Because why? She represents the Harper House. Correct? Amen? So same with us in God. We represent. If you've got your Bible, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 2. Got your Bible? Who's got their Bible? Their electronic Bible, their paper Bible, their tablet, stone tablet. Hebrews 3, verse 2 says, who was faithful to him who appointed him as Moses also was faithful in all his house. Everyone say house. Come on, you can do better than that. Say house. That's better. For he was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, because he who has built the house has more honor than the house. Everyone say house. For every house is built by someone. Who's built a house in this place? Okay, fantastic. Well done. But he who built all things is God. Verse 5, and Moses truly was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken afterward. Verse 6, listen to this. But Christ was faithful as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. This is the house of Jesus. The Bible says that you literally as a person are a literal house of Christ. So personally, you have a responsibility to live up to the name of Christ. Amen? Come on. You literally are. But this church is a house of Jesus. And it's not just about the people in this house. I mean, a lot of churches, their focus is just what happens within the church, within the house of God. And we have a focus on that. Let me tell you, just because we have a focus in other places does not mean that we take our eye off what happens in this place. And you're going to hear from that today. You're going to hear from our leaders that are building this house and building strong people in this house. But Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, it's a verse that gets used a lot for tithing. But I love the word here. There's a word in this passage that I think depicts us as a church. Verse 10 says, bring all the tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Whose house? That's God's house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, for I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. I truly believe that the house of God is called to be a storehouse. That we are to store up abilities, talent, finance, practical things, so that God can call on this house to do what it's called to do and to give to those around us. Are you hearing me? God doesn't, this is not a storehouse for just believers to sit and get fat and get rich and get blessed and just have better and better and better and maybe better and better worship, better and better the word and better and better programs. That's not what we're called to do. We are called to do that on top of being a storehouse where people in our community, people that don't know God, get a revelation that this is a place that you come to get good things. That out there in the community, that the community realizes that this is a storehouse of Christ. That they could come here and sure, give the practical, sure, give the emotional, but also give the spiritual. And we all know in this day and age, we live in a natural world where the emotional and the physical is more on people's minds than the spiritual. Correct? People, I guess, we haven't really ever had someone knock on the door. We have had them knock on the door of this house and say, hey, can I get spiritual food? We have had that. But I can tell you, week after week after week, we have more people calling us, knocking on our door, contacting us for emotional help and physical help. Amen? Because the world needs to see God's house as a storehouse. Think about it. The other aspect of this is we don't want to take your resource and your talent and your ability, if you're part of this church, and just save it up for just us Christians. You were never designed to be that way. Jack shared a great word about how we give and we receive. That's how the kingdom of God works. I want your ability, I want your talent, I want your time, I want your treasure, not to be just used for the people of God, but I want it to be used for the people that don't know God. Amen? And so this is the vision that we have for our church. And I'm going to get into a little bit of vision stuff and tell you a little bit about what we're doing. One of the things we're doing this year, which is actually quite exciting, is for the very first time we're buying a building. Now, before you get too excited, it's not a big church building. That's coming, that's in our future. Right now, we've still got room in this place. We're running out of room, I must admit. We've got multiple services, we can do more things. It's pretty packed in here. If we had all the kids in here, we would be out of room. But first thing we're doing this year is we're going to plant something in Rockdale. It's a shop front, and it's a part of an initiative that we feel God's put his hand upon in our church. And we are running out of, more than anything, we're running out of office space in this place and rooms to house ministries. Janine, we used to have a great little garage area. It used to be a garage, and there used to be like a laser skirmish room, and then there was a food care room. Well, Janine's taken over. That whole backside of the church out there is all gone, and she's coming this way. So so some of you, you know, before you know it, you'll be sitting around food and she'll be running it on a Sunday, and it'll be like people shopping in church. Don't put it past her. I love that though. That's vision, right? So the first thing we're doing, have a quick look actually. We got an office that we're looking at the moment. We're actually right now in negotiation of purchasing. We got that 2 minutes of saying two. What was that piece? I'm not quite sure which one it is. So it's the right way. But we've got a shop front, and I've got to say, this is the exciting thing. We've always had in our heart to buy something. We're buying an office block, and we've already received $112,000 towards that. Amen? Someone's already, that's been a gift to us already. And we're looking at buying something. It's about $186,000. It's not massive, but it's going to be the beginning of something. So we're going to take a loan for about $80,000, and we're going to come to the church. We're going to believe to pay off that loan quickly, do a bit of a program, and just believe that we'll own that outright very quickly. There's two parts to this office that I love. First of all, it is something that's going to house the vision that we have. We're going to actually, in that house, you'll hear from Mona, but we're going to open up counseling and our domestic violence program, which is growing out of this place. We don't have a space for it. And it's something that needs a bit of privacy. People come in. Admittedly, not everyone wants to come into a church to get counseling or DV counseling, domestic violence counseling. They don't want to come into a church. They'd rather go to something that's a little bit more like a consultation room. So we're looking at something about 60 square meters right in Rockdale, and it's coming. There it is. That's looking from the inside out. And any more pictures, guys? Just flow through them. That's looking not massive. Next one, next picture. Okay, storage room, very good, very important. Another area. We've got an outside picture. See if we can get one of those coming outside. Okay, that's the inside looking out. That's awesome. So that gives you an idea. But if you saw it from the road, it's quite a nice building. It's in right in Rockdale. It's at the bottom of a residential tower. And so at the moment, we're in negotiations for that. So pray. Everyone say pray. We talked to banks at the moment, and there's a lease on it at the moment. We're just praying that those people hear from God and move out quicker than they should. We're going to kick them out, but we just need them to move quickly. We need that space. So that's exciting. Who's excited about that? I think in the life of any church to buy something, and also down the track, to be honest, that will be end up being a deposit for our new church building. And that's what we're believing for. So you hear a bit more about that. So we're going to start raising between now and maybe August. We're going to see if we can raise $80,000 to pay off the remainder of that. So we owe it freehold. Would that be good? I think as a church we could do something like that. Also, we're influencing our food cares, of course, across Sydney. We've started another one, which will start very soon in Parramatta. So now we've got them. Jenny will have to help me. We've got seven at the moment. So we've got a mobile one at Caringbah. We've got one here at Rockdale. We've got one at Northern Beaches. We've got one at Randwick. We've got one starting at Parramatta. We've got one starting at Windsor. Where else? We've got one in Auburn area, Regent's Park. We've got where else? We've got one starting at, did I say Randwick? Where? Leichhardt. Don't think we've got one there yet, but Luke, if you want to start one, let's go for it. So, and also the exciting thing is we're actually at the moment working out a contract to start like another part of the franchise in Queensland. There's a possibility of six new food cares starting there. And these are churches that have been structured the way we are and connected with us. So I'm hoping by the end of the year we might have maybe 10, 12 of these food cares and growing. Does it sound good? We're called to impact. We're called to influence. And so and that is it. Look, it's not just about giving out food. There's great relationship and connection. And every church we've put a food care in, that church has grown. Amen? We've got one in Byron Bay. I forgot that one. And the church is growing. I was there at Christmas time and they just said it's turned the church around. So let's be excited about what we're doing as a church. It's amazing. You're amazing. You're part of it. Give yourself a hand. This year also, we're wanting to embark on our missions program. We haven't really had a strong missions program. We've had a local program, which is very obvious. Obviously, through food care and even through our program with counseling and domestic violence. But this year, we're wanting to look at a couple of places. One we're looking at the moment is Cambodia. There's a project there we want to get behind. So you're going to hear more about that. We're going to do a launch on that. And we're going to pick another place as well. We're just deciding what their next place is. I'm kind of feeling a heart for Tonga. And Jack and Janine, funniest thing is, a few years ago, they went on a missions trip to Tonga. And I obviously recently went there, but I think God's doing something there with that nation. So we could be looking at that. Amen? I think it's healthy for a church to have something completely outside of itself that it gives to. So as individuals, we are called to plant ourselves and our families in the house of God. And it's in God's place, in God's house, that you as a Christian are called to flourish. And I've got to be straight and I've got to be honest with this. I do not believe that a Christian can flourish outside of the house of God. I really do. I think you can stay at home and watch Christian TV and you'll survive for a while, but I do not believe that you are called to flourish without being connected into the house of God. Psalms 92 verse 12 to 14 says, "The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon," which is actually a good thing. Don't know, not from Lebanon, not into trees, but I'm sure in Bible times, a cedar in Lebanon was a very majestic thing. And everyone said, amen. "Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing." I love that word, flourishing. Everyone say flourishing. That word means magnificent, strong, virtuous, successful people. And can I just say that our vision, we've got vision outside, and that'll just expand and grow, and there's more on the agenda for how we're going to impact as a church. But now I want to turn it in here, because this is important. And where you bring your people, where you're planted, is important, and I want you to grow. I want you to flourish in this place. I want you to, this year, between this year and next year, I want you to know that there is growth in your life, that there is growth in your family, that you have seen growth in your family. That is what we're called to do. We're called to see people flourish. And if you're planted in here, the Word of God says you will flourish. You've got the seed of God inside of you. You cannot put that seed of God anywhere and expect it to flourish. Amen? You were designed to be connected to a house of God, to a church, to part of God's kingdom. Your kids were, your youth were, you were. And when you plant yourself in here, like the Word of God says, there is not just about the building, it's not just about the church, it's everything God has designed. There is so much going on that we call Bay City Church or any church. There's so much that you don't even see, that God is bringing and working together. There are personalities connecting with you. There are gifts integrating and challenging you and connecting with you to allow you to grow. This is fertile ground. This is how God designed it. And I want to encourage you, and I want to ensure you that we are after growth. Not just numerical growth. We're after growth in you. But all we need from you is to plant yourself and your family in this house. Get a revelation on that. Get a revelation of what that means to plant your kids, plant your youth, and plant yourself. I mean, we've talked a lot about life groups, but I tell you what, get a revelation of life groups. They will grow you. They're not some quirky little meeting in someone's house every 2 weeks. They are designed in heaven to help grow you. Amen? Our youth group is not some little gathering of people like scouts or something else, a little social gathering of people that just play games and do crazy things. That's what the world might see. It is the house of God. And every time your kids come in here, I guarantee you, God will be growing them. He'll be watering that seed of God in them. He'll be doing something. He'll make interacting with them so that they grow strong. Every time your kids come into this place and go upstairs and they go into that room, you might think, oh, it's good child minding. This is fantastic. That is not a child minding center. That is the house of God. And right now, the Holy Spirit is brooding over that place. God is brooding over that place. He's using our teachers. He's using the Word. And He's getting your kids and He's putting the Word of God into them. He's putting a foundation. He's building them slowly, going like this, building them, adding to them every single time. Are you hearing me? That is not just a childcare center. They are completely different. This is the house of God. It's his house. He doesn't call a childcare center his house. Amen. He doesn't call the local community youth center his house. It's got to have his name, and it's got to be under his authority, and the people have to be able to submit themselves. Our board and our church, we are submitted. Every time we have a meeting up there for our vision group of people, every Tuesday, we pray, God, direct us, guide us, put your hand on what we should be about, and tell us what we shouldn't be about. You are the head of this board table, God. We pray that you would guide us, direct us. You don't get that from a community-based youth center. You don't get that from a secular playgroup. Amen? You don't get that from a school. Are you hearing me? So I encourage you, this is the place that God wants to grow you. So right now, I want you to hear from some of the people that God has called to grow either your children, your youth, grow you, grow this church and community, grow this church. And so we're going to hear some areas in the church. So number one is the youth. I'm going to hand over to Trent. Here he comes.
All right, so where am I, guys? Hey, so just really quickly, you know how there's like this secret Illuminati that run the world? Yeah, something like that. Anyway, you watch YouTube, you'll find it out. So we got one of those in our youth group, and that's Bubby, wherever she is. She's like awesome and part of the team. And she looks after all of our events. I'll talk about that in a minute, but not really sure what I'm going to say yet. So let's hear from some of the kids and see what youth group is.
Okay. Hello. Yeah. Well, our vision in, well, my vision in the youth is to see us grow in the community and to influence kids in the community to come to know God and stuff. And also, I want to see our youth as a whole growing God, and I want that, like, that would lead to speaking at youth, speaking in church, and, yeah, just coming to encounter God.
For me, I really just want to create a place where, like, it's not only fun, like a fun place to hang out on a Friday night, but a place where kids can come and learn about God and get to know him and really get to just be with him. And I feel like over the past year, our youth has become really close and we've become a really strong family. And I want to create a place where we can bring more kids to become a part of our family and a place where they can feel loved and welcomed.
I was given the topic of God, and what I got from that was for our youth group, we don't want kids just showing up because it's fun. We don't want kids just showing up because their friends are there. We don't want kids just showing up because they get to go to Macca's at the end. We want kids showing up so they can experience God and have encounters with God and the Holy Spirit. So that would lead to what we want to happen from that is kids getting saved, salvations and transformations, so we can bring up the next generation of kids for our youth group.
Okay. So, I guess my vision is, as you can see, we have our next gen. Not that they're that much younger than me, but sorry, Ivan. Yeah, upper scale. But if these kids are like, they're 15, 16, 14, and they already have vision, that's what I want. I want to see our next gen having vision for the next gen, for the gen after that. You know, I don't want to just see it just stop right here, you know, from me, Trent, and Ivan. I don't want just to stop there. I want these kids to take control and just kill it, you know. Then I want them to dominate the next, the generation after them, and that's what I want to see. I want to see a generation that's just powered and just living a life for God.
And I think part of our vision is we see all the kids who come to church go to youth group, but what we want to see is their friends come to youth group as well. A lot of the people like that are in their world are lost. They need Jesus, so it's great to see them come in. And another part of our vision is we focus on the kids who have just disappeared, who are gone back into the world, the lost kids. We want to bring them back into church and just strengthen their lives. And yeah, it's part of it.
Awesome. You guys might want to sit down. I'll be a while. But yeah, let's thank these guys. They're doing awesome. And so I'm taking clapping time off. I've already told you that. What I want to see, right, is it. Ready? I want to see that bus that we have out there that needs petrol, by the way. That bus out there to be absolutely full every single Friday night we drive out to pick his up. We have already seen amazing growth, not just in numbers, but in the kids stepping up on a Friday night. You know, and I want to see that these guys can go out there, and like I talked about a while ago, and be influencers in their generation. Remember, we're talking about 16-year-olds, 17-year-olds. I don't know what you're doing at that age, okay? But I get most of us probably weren't going into our school and telling them about Jesus. And so we want to see our kids go out there, telling people about Jesus, telling people about the truth, and bringing them into the house where they can be nurtured, where they can be loved, where they can be prayed for, where they can become part of your family. I've still got 30 seconds, Jack. Look at these guys. Anyway, that's why I went first, so I can take my time. Oh, I don't need that. All right, and the last thing, because I've got to wrap this up and take all the spiritualness out of it. There's one more thing I want to see happen in our youth group. Stand up, Moser. Stand up, Moser. Stand up, baby. And that is it. Thank you very much.
Wow. You always get worried when the youth pastor gets up, especially when he tells you that the bus needs petrol. It's diesel. Don't go there. In our church, obviously, another area that is, every area is dear to our heart, we should be dear to your heart, is our kids. And I honestly think we've got the best kids pastor in the world and the most good looking. Sure. Coming up, Marianne, the hottest kids pastor on planet Earth. Does an amazing job. My better half, Marianne. Give her a huge hand of applause.
And I brought with me the beautiful Matea Callis. Okay, so at Bay City Kids, we value children because we really believe that God values children and places value in them. Matthew 14, verse 9 says, got to get our notes organized here, don't we, Tay?
The little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these.
So every single one of our leaders and workers is committed and loves children. I, for one, have three kids of my own, now spend my week taking foster children to visit their families. And we have a family, an extended family here, and it really truly is family up there in Planet Kids, of about 70 kids overall in the life of this church. So in keeping with the vision for kids, we have three areas that we focus on every week. And the first is that we believe in a strong presentation of the gospel, and we believe in applying it to their lives. So we'll always have a great Bible story, and we'll always have a great life application lesson up there. We also believe in committing scripture to memory. I don't know if anybody went to Sunday school when they were little. Can anyone say they went to Sunday school? I can tell you today, and you can probably bear witness with me, in the hard times, in difficulties, it's those memory verses that we remembered as little kids that spring to life. Is that right? Who can say amen? So every week we diligently learn our memory verse, and we believe that kids should have fun. That's the three focuses of our vision. Our vision is epitomized in Proverbs 22, verse 6.
Train a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not turn from it.
Okay. So our vision is that Bay City Kids, in Bay City Kids, that we will promote their eternal happiness. We want kids to find indestructible joy in Christ, that it will help them make sense out of life, understanding who made the world and what went wrong and God's plan to fix it. We believe that it's their best chance to accept Christ. Research has proven that kids tend to be more receptive to the gospel than any other age, We want children to have every opportunity to believe in Jesus. It helps avoid some negative outcomes of sin. Only God's grace can change our hearts. But knowing the consequences of disobeying God is often a wake-up call. When children understand the great price that Jesus paid for their salvation, they are more likely to stay on the way of the righteous. It can help counter worldly influences. Everyone knows the harmful effects and influences that are present in our society. Kids need positive influence to tip the scale, and it can help them learn to love others. The second greatest commandment is to love your neighbour as yourself. And as an example, here today, Matea is going to tell you what our scripture memory verse is this week. Do you want to see the notes or can you remember? Okay, she can remember. Okay, it's Luke chapter 10, verse 27.
Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, and all your strength, and love your neighbours as you love yourself.
Beautiful, well done. Awesome, thank you guys.
Come on, give them a hand. Awesome. Never underestimate the Word of God in a child's life. Amen? Amen? So right now, we've got another age group in our church that have got some exciting new things coming up. So you're going to hear from Gareth and the young adults. Come on, Gareth.
Thanks very much. I thank God that my kids get to grow up with the kids' church here at Bay City. Even my son, he repeats the scriptures in the car on the way home, and it's just great. And I want to say I agree with Trent. I definitely think we need to see more haircuts like Moses in the church. Okay? So way to go, Trent. Thank you. Excellent. Not too young, though. It just looks weird. Okay, so if you don't know me, my name's Gareth. I've been entrusted with the young adults here. I'm slightly OCD about Jesus, very passionate about that particular age bracket. When we talk about young adults, I'm referring to the 18 to 25 on the way to 30-ish. Kind of gets blurred at that end of the scale. I'm really excited about these guys because they're very unique. They're a little bit different. Okay, when I was growing up, youth ministry was kind of the place where only the pastor's kids went and their geeky friends and the kids that couldn't get into the club, right? Okay, and when I got saved, it was like that. But there's been a dramatic shift in the culture, hugely. And see, what they call postmodern world, where all the idea of absolute truth and solid foundations in your life have been taken away, and these guys grew up in this world where nothing was solid. It was like any life choice was a valid life choice as long as it didn't hurt somebody else. You could just totally train wreck your own life as long as you didn't hurt somebody else. And see, so that's left these empty souls, like voided hearts, and confused people, really. And see, now it's almost like the culture is shifting away from that back to this like fundamental, like it's coming where people need that absolute truth. And so we're at this point in history now where we have a great opportunity. What has been a great detriment to the church in the past, as far as culture goes, has now opened this doorway of opportunity. It's this wave. Like you look at even, I was watching CNN Sport last night, and you look at these guys like Tim Tebow, the starting quarterback for the Denver Broncos. He's NFL, yet he goes around talking about how he gets grilled in interviews about how he's a virgin because he's saving himself for his future wife. You got Jeremy Lin, like the starting point guard for the New York Knicks. Same testimony. You got Lauren Eagle, professional water skier who's on board with what Janine's doing. You got guys like Justin Bieber, I mean, Trent's favorite pop artist. I mean, it's like a valid life choice now. In that young adult culture, it's very contrasted in that you've got these guys who absolutely believe they can do anything, but they'll only do it if they want to do it. Okay, so you've got these guys where if you can get them to believe in something, if they believe in something, they will give everything to it. Absolutely everything. And you look at these young adults, so you see, God doesn't make anything less than perfect, right? When I was young, I think I was about 12 or so, my dad said to me, I was a side effect of a good time. All right? Now, I kind of had to sort of work through a few things because of that. But when I came to God, I realized that
I was not a side effect of anything. God was very determined in what he was doing, and he knew what he was doing. Now, in all these young adults, there is amazing potential. There is dreams, visions. And if they come to God and they find out who God really is, they find out who they really are, and you get like a community of these guys together, a network. I mean, networking, these guys can play games with their mate in Belize or wherever, and they can communicate through Facebook, Twitter. They can get, they're online, they're connected, thousands of friends on Facebook. It's ridiculous, like, what is capable through these guys. Okay, so what we're doing for the young adults in 2012, we have a once-a-month service, Momentum Saturday Night Live. It's open to all young adult-ish people. Okay, it's going to be here. The first one is on March the 10th. Okay, it's going to start at 7 o'clock. It's going for an hour and a half, and it's going to have a little bit of a twist to it, but you're going to have to come and find out exactly what that is. We're running life groups, which actually we have three life groups now. It's going to be myself, Chloe, everyone knows Chloe, and Amalia. And they're going to be across different days of the week. So there's a few different options there. We've got three events coming up as well. We're going to organize a snow trip. Yeah, we're doing an intensive conference. And we're also going to do an encounter retreat with some ministers that have a certain gift in breakthrough and things like that. So, guys, I'm really excited about this year. I was just out of this thought then. I love Jesus, right? So people say to me sometimes, like, you know, oh, I really don't like being a part of, like, organized religion. I don't agree with organized religion. I'm like, you definitely need to come to Bay City. You're going to love it. We're totally unorganized. We just love Jesus. unless you serve with Pastor Janine, then you're very organized. Anyway, that's it for me. God bless. I'll catch you all soon.
Wow. They're doing well. Just in case everyone's been timed. A little time there to keep everyone organized. Fantastic. Wasn't that good? Come on, give Gareth a hand. Team do a great job. And I'm just wondering if us older people can come on that ski trip. I'm going to make myself a young adult just to go on that. Yeah, thanks, Gareth. Didn't want to comment. Right now, we've got Bay City Care. We're going to hear from one aspect. Obviously, we know we've got food gear. There's a few aspects to Bay City Care. But we thought this morning we'd put a light on our counselling, our domestic violence. We're going to invite Mona to come up and talk about that. Give her a hand.
Hey, church. You know, it's just wonderful to hear about what's going on in the life of our church and just how blessed we are to be a part of God's house. You know, to have had the opportunity to be saved and to be here and just to be part of all of this is amazing. But, you know, I just want to take your attention outside of this amazing house of blessing and just, you know, point you to the direction of what's going on outside of this house. And there's some horrific things happening outside of this house, some horrible things happening. And, you know, obviously not time to get into it now, but, you know, can I just say that just focusing on women, for example, which is what we're about, is that 33% of women in Australia have been affected by domestic violence, have been abused in some way. 33%, that's a huge number, guys. And they believe statistically there could be more because not all of them are reported. What's even worse is 50% of all female homicides are related to domestic violence. 50% of all female homicides. And, you know, as Christians, we sit around and, you know, I've heard Christians do this, you know, this is terrible. You know, something needs to be done about this. And you know what, guys? God has called his church, the house of Jesus Christ, to do something about this. Our purpose is to be the hands and the feet of God. He is calling us. He's waiting on us to respond and to do something about what's going on out there. In Colossians 3:19, the Word of God says, love your wives and never treat them harshly. Love your wives and never treat them harshly. Women out there are not only being abused, but they're dying. And it's a horrible thing. And so as the body of Christ, we can't be still. We can't be quiet. God's cause. I love that song this morning about wake up, child. You know, like it's fantastic and it's so true. We have been set free. We've been given a destiny to respond to what's happening out there. And I love being a part of this church because that is the heart of this church. That is the absolute heart and soul, and it's awesome watching the time. In 2010, we commenced our Bay City Residential Program, which was in partnership with St George Community Housing. And since then, we've been able to assist and house three women and their children. And in that process, we've been able to provide support for them through counselling and case management, referral-based sort of thing. And we've also helped them with training, with life skills, you know, with our food care. Combined with our food care, it's a fantastic support service because we're able to also offer help with food, with household items, all sorts of stuff. And, you know, it's been a wonderful thing. But, you know, since then we've had so many referrals that have come through to us that we've had to turn away, unfortunately, because we just don't have any more properties. We only have the three. And we're hoping and praying for more. And church, I really just ask you to pray with us because there's a huge need out there of young women with solo women who've been abused, mistreated, and they've got nowhere to go. Private rental is really, really expensive and just unaffordable. So pray with us. Anyway, this year our team got together. We have an amazing team of people and, gosh, I wish I had more time. But our team work tirelessly. They give up their time. They give up their resources, whatever they can to help these women out. And so we decided this year that because we have so many referrals and just we don't have the properties, you know, we thought, well, how can we provide, how can we help these women somehow in some other way? And so we're really excited because coming up late in March, and we'll hear a bit more about it, is we're going to be launching what will be known as Bay City Women's Support Centre. And hence the office, which will be opening up as well. So it's really exciting, guys. The office will be used as a counselling centre, but it will be the hub where women can come and they can be receive counselling, receive case management, receive assistance in whichever way that we possibly can help them through our resources. The residential obviously will continue, but apart from the residential, we can do something because there are so many people out there in need, so many women. So we're excited about that. That's happening, as I said, it's already sort of unofficially happening, but it will be officially launched late in March. And I'm out of time. But let me just finish with this. In Luke 4:18, the Word of God says that the Spirit of the Lord is upon us, church, but he has anointed us to bring good news to the poor, and he has sent us to proclaim freedom for the captives, and that the blind will see, and that the oppressed will be set free. Amen. Thank you.
Come on, give her a hand. Something Mona didn't mention, but some of you would know, is God's put his hand on this project so much. The building's one thing. Someone's give us some money towards that. But also, I don't know if you know, but Celebrity Apprentice, Lauren Eagle, she's already won us $100,000 towards our domestic violence project. And sometimes you just got to realize when God puts his hand on something, you got to run with it. Amen? So it's going to be a good thing to get that women's center up and running and resourced. Well, the last four today, we're going to hear from these other departments in the church, which you haven't heard from, but we would not want to keep you here till tonight. But we've got Lord Des, who's involved in what we call People Network, quite a few areas. Give her a hand as she comes up right now.
Yes, the blessed last. Okay. You know, I love the house of God. When I got saved, I had a passion for the house of God, and instantly I ended up working in the office. Now, I hope today that you catch the vision of our church and that it moves you. It totally moves you to action so that you can become a faithful servant in this house. And I know that God has an amazing purpose and plan for this house. So we are in a very good place. Okay, I'm going to actually speak about two ministries that I lead. I lead two ministries. One is the New People Ministry and the other one is the New Christian Ministry. They are a people ministry, so it's all about connecting and caring for people. So it's a good thing I'm a people person. I love all sorts of people, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and the bad that's pretty ugly. So you have to be a people person. And I know that Dave tried for 2 weeks, but he couldn't last any longer than that because he lacks that people person personality. Okay, our mission for the New People Ministry, we greet, we welcome, we host, and we connect with every new person on their very first visit to the church, okay? We have a very small opportunity, a window of opportunity to leave a good lasting impression. We want their first visit to be a friendly, caring, and loving experience. Now, we are the point of contact, so we do grab them, but we do hope that their subsequent visits, that you, the church, keep that culture that we have, which is being friendly and welcoming. We also, this year, the life group leaders are going to be active in connecting with the new people for the second and third visits, because we kind of don't have the time to do that. We're constantly greeting new people, so on their second visits, we don't actually have the opportunity to give our time to them. Now, our vision for the New People Ministry is to see every new person feel lovingly integrated into the life of the church and be established in this house. So it's not just their first visit, obviously, as they establish themselves and find their purpose in this house, that they will feel that this is the house that God has placed them. We want the life group leaders to continue with that, obviously, and they will introduce them to a life group, and there they become a part of a church family, and that's very, very important as the church grows, okay? Now, the New Christians Ministry. This ministry is founded on the biblical mandate in Matthew 28, 19 to 20. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching those new disciples to obey all the command I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always. It is a ministry of Jesus Christ. He spent 3 years training his disciples. This ministry is the expression of God's love and grace. And our mission with the New Christians Ministry is to teach and disciple every new believer. The teaching side of this ministry consists of two courses, which will be starting on the 12th of March. The first one is a solid foundation course, which is a course that teaches the fundamentals of Christian faith, such as it covers topics such as prayer, the Bible, communion, baptism, the Holy Spirit, sanctification, and what it all means to be saved. The second course builds on from the Solid Foundation course, which is called the Christian Living. This covers topics such as activating your faith, forgiveness, authority of the believer in Christ, and generosity. So both these courses are going to start up, so if you're interested, come and see me. Even if you are not a new Christian, but you've never had these foundations laid, or you're a little bit iffy about the Holy Spirit, come and be a part of it. Come and hear the teachings. Now, that's the teaching part. So our vision is to see every believer grow in their knowledge and understanding of our Lord Jesus Christ and establish their new faith and to live an abundant life, giving glory to God. This year, because we focus a lot on the teaching aspect of the New Christian Ministry, my cry of my heart, the conviction of my spirit, is that it's the second mission, which is making disciples, okay? So this year, I'm really excited because I'm establishing a new team within the New Christians Ministry called the Discipleship Team. We're actually having our first training session. I've got about 16 people who are interested. We're training today after church. This is called the Discipleship Team. It runs within the New Christians Ministry. What we'll do is what Jesus did. We will have a disciple or a leader walk with the new believer, supporting them, encouraging them, praying for them, praying with them, assuring them and teaching them the disciplines of Christian living and being their role model. I believe that once they enter, once they accept Jesus as their Lord and Saviour, we are fighting against the kingdom of darkness, right? And we are the light of the world. So I believe that as mature Christians, we need to be that light for them and we need to fight for these new babes in Christ. So just finishing it up, I just want to say four simple words what this ministry is about. Quoting from Fergus McIntyre, love God, love people.
Awesome. Maybe the musicians could come up right now. Well, is that good? Are you inspired? A lot of information. There are other departments that aren't mentioned. We have accounts, which are flat out. We have office administration. We have cafe. We have ushering. We have stage managing. We have church cleaning.